We are in Matthew chapter 3. Book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 1.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight."
Okay, here we see Matthew chapter 3, verse 3 says, this was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was concerned about Christ coming to this world. But before Christ comes, somebody is going to prepare the way for Christ to come. And so this is written in book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Now see exactly what the Isaiah was saying, exact the work was John the Baptist was doing. And the word of God says, the Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, as soon as he start preaching, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So he preached the first message of repentance. Then Jesus preached, as we know, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, then the Peter and others. But the first message came from the John the Baptist, to repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now there is a similar verse we read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Please read. But many people get mixed up. In Malachi chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 40.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now this prophecy is given for the end time. The Elijah as well as Enoch, these two people never saw death, or they never died. So those are the prophets will be coming in the time of tribulation. It is written in book of Revelation chapter 11, but their names are not given. They say just two witnesses. And many people say Moses and Elijah, and some people say Enoch and Elijah. So I believe in Enoch and Elijah. But their work, the work of the Elijah and the work of the John the Baptist was the same. He's saying they are going to tell the people, repent, and they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 17.
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
See, it's similar words in book of Malachi and here, so that's why people get mixed up. Here, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. What the Elijah was going to do or what the Elijah does, that's the kind of spirit John the Baptist had. And so this is the kind of work he was going to do, prepare the people, prepare their children, prepare their father, bring the unity, bring the people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and introduce them to Jesus Christ. That's what his work was. Read verse 76 to 79, same chapter. Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. That's John the Baptist's father, is saying.
And thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Now see how this Zechariah is saying, what kind of job you will be doing. You're going to prepare the people, bring them to the salvation. The important thing is this, Jesus Christ is already here. How does he know? Because when Mary came, they came to know that Mary is pregnant with the Son of God. So he is saying, let's read the verse before 76, Luke 1:78.
Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us.
See, dayspring from on high hath visited us. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ has already visited us. Now read the 79.
To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
So he's saying why Jesus Christ has come here, to give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death. That's the kind of situation was. All these people were in the darkness, dying without God and without Christ. No peace, no joy, and those people were in bondage. When Jesus Christ came and said, "Ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free," they said, "Oh, we were never slaves." John the Baptist's father is saying, "We are grateful that you are the servant of Most High God, a prophet, and your job to preach about the salvation message, prepare the way, because the dayspring is already visited us, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to bring the light and life to the world." Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4.
And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey.
When you are a Bible student and studying the word, and if I ask you a question, where you can find Elijah's clothes, how he was dressed? When you're reading in the book of 1 Kings, there is the Elijah story. But in that story, he never said what kind of dress he wears or what kind of food he eats. It's nothing written in there. But you go to the 2 Kings, chapter 1, verse 8.
And they answered him, "He was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite."
Now, this kind of dress the Elijah was wearing. And so they said that John the Baptist also was wearing the similar cloth. And then he says his meat was locust and wild honey. Now many people believe he was in the wilderness, so he can find plenty of locusts and honey. But at the same time, some people, they say, this locust is a tree and brings some kind of nuts. And he might be eating those nuts and honey. In America, we know nut and honey is very famous word. So he might be eating those nuts and honey and nutritious things so he could survive. There are some people they eat in China and some other countries, they eat. And some of the people, they catch them and fry them. When they fry, it's a very good aroma comes. So people might feel like eating, tempted to eat. We cannot argue, whatever he ate is not sinful thing he did. He ate it to survive. So it can be real locusts or it can be nuts and honey, but he survived and he lived a very pure and dedicated life. He was not mixed with the worldly people. He never got married. He was a very fiery preacher. He was not afraid of any king or anyone. And he gave his life for the truth. And so that's the kind of man John the Baptist was. Okay, let's read the verse 5. Matthew 3:5.
Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Now when the John the Baptist was preaching, he did not go to house to tell people to come to him. He went in the wilderness and people came to him. The word of God says all the sinners, they came, they heard the word, they repent of their sins, and they start taking the water baptism. But here comes the Pharisees and Sadducees. They came, they did not come to take the water baptism. They just came to criticize him or find a fault in him or discourage other people. And so that's why he said to them, you are snakes and vipers, and who warned you to escape the God's wrath? That means he knows each and every person who is born into this world, they are under the curse. They're under the wrath. There are so many people are thinking, oh, I didn't do anything, and I'll go to heaven. There is not a single person could say, I did not commit sin. Every person is a sinner. Somebody says, I didn't do any sin, I didn't commit any sin, how can I be a sinner? Because your forefathers were sinners. And so you have the Adamic nature, Adamic sin built in you. So the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then somebody says, why we have to tell other people you are a sinner? Because people do not know what the sin is. You can give the list of the sins. Somebody says, I don't think that's a sin. I'm not doing anything wrong. I do everything good. But you cannot compare what you're doing with other person, what he's doing. Somebody says, that person smokes, I don't. That person drinks, I don't. That person beats his wife, I don't. I'm a better person than him. So I'll go to heaven, I'm a better person. That's not the way we should compare ourselves. We compare ourselves with God. God is the one, Holy One. And God is the one who is truth. God is the one who is a holy person. So we compare ourselves with God and then we come short of the glory of God. That's why when Jesus Christ came into this world, the reason why he came, because even the God gave them the commandment, shed the blood, said, and I'll forgive your sins. They were not observing any law by heart. They were doing by force. Just like if there is no red, yellow, and green, the signal is not there, you just go. If there is no speed limit, you just go. Because there is no speed limit, there is no signal, so you are not breaking the law. But as soon as the signal is there, and the speed limit is 35 or 15 or 25, and then you're going for 65, then you are guilty. And then if you go through the red light, then you are guilty. So that's why the law was given. The law was not given them to go to heaven. Law was given them to make them guilty so they will look for the Savior. And that's why the law brings us to Christ. Point us to Christ. You cannot save yourself, so you come to Christ. And then Christ says, oh, heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. I will save you. I will forgive you. I will give you peace, and you will be set free if you come to me. And so Jesus Christ paid the penalty. He gave his blood and sanctified us. Now when we stand before God, God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then he says, you are not a sinner, you are righteous. And that's what it is. Righteousness comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. So here, in these Sadducees and Pharisees, and they were thinking we are better people than the sinners because we know the law and we observe the law, so we are better people. That's why Jesus Christ said to those people, if you are righteous, I did not come for you. I came for sinners. And so here, John the Baptist, the same way he's saying to them, who warned you to come hear and see. Are you coming to repent? Do you want to go to heaven? Or are you just coming to see what these people are doing? So he was telling them, verse 10. Please read it one more time.
And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Now he's comparing them as a trees. He says, now if you are a tree giving a good fruit, that's okay. But if you're giving a bad fruit, then you will be cut down and put it in a fire. Jesus Christ also says similar. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 7 and start reading from verse 17 to 20.
Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
See, this is very simple example Jesus Christ also gave. So we are like trees. So Jesus Christ says, if you want to have eternal life, then you bear good fruits. And Jesus Christ even says, you know, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you want to bear the good fruits or much fruit, you stay in the branch. Stay in Jesus. Without staying in Jesus, you cannot bear good fruits, because the natural man cannot bring good fruits. Because the Word of God says, our righteousness is the filthy rag in the sight of God. That means the natural man, whatever he wants to do, he will do everything wrong. You have to know, if your friends are evil, even though they're highly educated, if they're not born again, if they're not saved, your lawyer, if he's not a Christian lawyer, if he's not born again, if you're a person wherever you go to do taxes or go to a doctor, all those people, if they are not born again Christians, they can lead you to the wrong way. Even though they are expert in a business, they are expert in their field, but as much as possible, we should find the Christian people who can do the right thing. But now people think, oh, Christian people do worse than the secular people. You met the people who say themselves Christians, but they're not. That's what the problem happens. If I see somebody, then I say, I want to know how you become a Christian. Then if that person has the testimony, then we know he's a real Christian. Otherwise, the Word of God is saying, your self-righteousness is filthy rag in the sight of God. Our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Our fruits comes from him. We cannot bear any good fruits without Christ. The Christ is the one bear fruit through us. And the Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, he says, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And there are nine fruits are mentioned. So how those fruits we can bear once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So here he's saying, if you don't bring good fruits, then you will be cut down and you'll go to the fire. That means you'll go to hell. And so what he's trying to say, you want to bear good fruits? Come, repent, receive Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. That's the point he's trying to bring and Jesus is bringing. Okay, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Verse 11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
See, John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Son of God, and at the same time he introduced as the baptizer by the Holy Spirit. Until then, nobody talked about Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Moses, Elijah, and any other prophet. They never talked about Holy Spirit. They never talked about Savior, who is Jesus. Means they just said it in their prophecy. But John the Baptist directly saying who Jesus Christ is. And so here he's saying, Jesus Christ is the only one can baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He said, I am just baptizing you with the water. Now, there are people, they baptize somebody with the water, but they never will take these scriptures and explain to you that I am baptizing you with the water, but Jesus Christ can baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. They will never bring this scripture. And if they bring it and somebody asks, what is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? They won't be able to explain. They will simply say, well, that means if you are born again, you got the Holy Spirit, you got the Spirit of God, and that's what the John the Baptist is saying. But that's not what John the Baptist was saying. He said Jesus Christ is the one going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now see what Jesus Christ is saying. Go to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 5.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
See, Jesus Christ took the scripture from the John the Baptist. He said, you heard what the John the Baptist was saying. John the Baptist was saying, I am baptizing you with the water, but Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The same thing he said, John the Baptist baptized you with the water, but now you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Now here he was saying there is something in the Holy Spirit. You see, there is a power, dynamic power. Once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you got a dynamic, the power of the Holy Spirit and all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, so you can be a witness to the whole world. What kind of witness? You will doing the preaching with the signs and wonders and miracles. That's the kind of witness the Word of God is saying. So now, Jesus Christ is saying, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit pretty soon, but you have to go and tarry in the Jerusalem. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4. And this promise is fulfilled.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Here he says, they filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongue, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if you ask the person who doesn't believe in speaking in tongue, could you explain to me this verse, what it says? They have no answer. They will not explain to you. And so here we see the Holy Spirit comes, and the person receives the Holy Spirit. Then the people can see the power of God in his life, and they can hear what he's saying. Let's read the verse 33 in the same chapter, book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 33.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear.
The power of the Holy Spirit you received, he said, that now you can hear and see. So there is something happens when the person receives the Holy Spirit, you can see and hear. What you hear the unknown tongue. What you see, the action of the Holy Spirit in the person's life. So the Holy Spirit doesn't come silently and say, okay, you got the Holy Spirit? Yes. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? Oh, well, when I got saved. And how do you know? Well, I believe I'm living a good life and the Holy Spirit is working in me. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. And Spirit of Christ is working in you. That's why you're living holy and clean life. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is going to be holy. When you receive the Father, the Word of God says, be ye holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Once you receive the Father, you have got the Father's holiness, the Christ's holiness, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you, and you are holy. But you will be not be dynamic man of God who does the signs and wonders and miracles and healings and all the 9 gifts working in that person's life. Okay, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 12.
Whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Now, he, who is he? He's talking about the man who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, the man who is going to give you that Holy Spirit and dynamic power to minister to him and to witness. The same man, Jesus, is going to judge you. Means if you don't live a holy life, if you don't live a clean life, if you don't bring the good fruits, and your fruits are bad, and your tree is bad. Earlier he said that tree will be cut down. Now here he says a different example. Just like harvest came. And he said Jesus Christ, in the time of harvest, what he says, he takes the grain and store it, and chaff he will burn into fire. So he's trying to say, Jesus Christ has the power to judge the unsaved and the people who rebel against him. So he said he's going to judge them. Let's go to the St. John chapter 5 and start reading from verse 25 to 30. Jesus Christ says, my Father has given me this authority to judge the people.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
See, here Jesus Christ is saying, my Father has given me authority to judge. And how he's going to judge? He's going to judge people righteously. And so, that anyone did not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, did not listen, did not repent, did not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, all those people will be judged. Unsaved people, backslidden people, the people who rejected Christ, all the people will be judged. And he says, that judgment has given to me. I'm not doing as my own, but Father has given me this power to judge people. Now, everybody is afraid of judgment. All your secret sin will be judged in that day. And some people did something that nobody wants to know. And that's why some of the people, when these stories comes out, what they did, they killed themselves. So they think, if I die, I don't want to hear my bad stuff. But that's not the end. The one day, the judgment day, the person will be, raised from this dead and will be judged. And somebody will sitting there, wow, I didn't know this person did all of these things. So it all will come out. He said, if you say something in a closed door in somebody's ear, that will be proclaimed in the housetop. So there is nothing secret somebody does and some sin they do and nobody knows. Mother doesn't know, father doesn't know, boss doesn't know, my officer doesn't know, nobody knows, but God knows. The Word of God says in Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes. So God is the one who is keeping all the records. In olden days, I used to think, many people might be thinking too, that God keeps the record. I thought, how big the book will be? Genesis to Revelation, every person in the world, they did something, and God is keeping the record. How big the book will be? But now we know that they have chips, small chips, and they can put the whole Bible and whole history and whole world's books and everything in one chip. Now people can understand God has better chips than what we're thinking. His program is better than ours, so he has something to store to judge the people. Not a single person will say, I didn't do it, because he will have the testimony. The angels will be testifying, the Son of God will be testifying, and person cannot deny. So everybody has to be judged. And some people say, I don't like that kind of judgment. You don't like? Only way you can escape the judgment, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, forgotten, washed, cleansed, and no record of your sin. So that's what Jesus Christ does. He says, I will forgive your sins. Okay, your sins will be forgiven. Not only that, he said, you pass from death unto life. Okay, you are in John chapter 5. Let's read verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, you get everlasting life, no condemnation, and pass from death unto life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you confess your sins and put it in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, forgotten. Book of Hebrews chapter 8, book of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, I will remember your sin no more. So the Word of God says only believers will be forgiven, their sin will be forgotten, and they don't have to stand at the judgment seat of God or judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2, please read.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
See here, no condemnation to the believers, but when? Don't walk according to your flesh. They say, I'm a Christian, and go to bar. I'm a Christian, have 4 girlfriends. I'm a Christian, and I watch bad movies. I'm a Christian, and I have bad friends. Doesn't work that way. If you are a Christian, you should not be walking in the flesh. If you're a Christian, you walk in the Spirit. Then you will not have condemnation. Verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, if you are in Christ, you are free from sin and death. But if you are not in Christ, then you are in sin and you are going to die and you go to eternal hellfire. So once you come to Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and no condemnation, no judgment. That's the best part of it. You don't have to worry what you did in secret. It will never come up once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And somebody says, if I did after I came to Jesus and then I commit some sin, then what? Repent. Not like Monday morning, I got up, I did some wrong. Okay, I'll wait until I come home. All the sin I commit in my business, in my work, then I'll repent. It will not work that way. Because you may not be able to come to your house. You might be killed on the way. Then what? The Word of God says only righteous man goes out of his house and comes back safely. Because we have the protection of the angels. The angels' protection is not for the sinners. Angels' protection is for the believers. He says, as soon as you are born again, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, God sends his angel to minister to us. So we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the angels. And so we have the protection. So here the Word of God is saying, we should be living in Christ, walking in Christ, then we will be free from sin and death. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 3, verse 13.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
Now here the John the Baptist, baptizing people in a Jordan River. Jesus Christ goes from Galilee to Jordan, so it's a long walk, and it's a hot sunny day. And some people are making so fuss about the water baptism. I'm talking about the nominal Christians who do not believe in immersion baptism. They will tell you, oh, this is just, you have to do it by faith. Why we have to go in a river or a lake? Why we have to dip somebody in the water? You can just take the water in the cup and just sprinkle or just put a cross and that's it. This is just by faith. The water doesn't save you. Why you have to do all of these rituals? It's not a ritual, it's a commandment. Baptism means immersion. You have to be immersed in the water. And so the John is doing this. Jesus Christ is coming to him. Jesus Christ is our example. If he went that far to take the water baptism, then we have to go a little bit further. When I was in India, baptism pool or river was not close. I have to take a taxi, I have to rent a bus and take the people for water baptism in a sea and a river. And so Jesus Christ is giving an example. He's coming. John the Baptist was saying, repent and be baptized. He did not say to Jesus, repent, because he said, hey, you're supposed to be baptized, me. John the Baptist has a good testimony about Jesus Christ, but his Matthew doesn't say this. Let's go to the St. John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 29.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Now here, when Jesus Christ came, he knew that he is proclaiming about the Savior. He is the Savior. He is the righteous one. I am the prophet bringing people to him. And now he is coming to me to be baptized. What Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, he says, this is the commandment I have to fulfill. This is the righteousness of God. So I have to fulfill the righteousness of God. And so let me fulfill the righteousness of God. Now how could Jesus fulfill the righteousness of God? Because when he says, John the Baptist says, God has ordained him or inspired him to baptize people. And so when he's baptizing, people are repenting and coming and taking baptism. Now, why Jesus Christ has to come and take baptism? Because he's not a sinner. But Jesus Christ took the flesh of Adam. Means he was born in the Adam's family. So as a man, he has to obey the commandment. Everybody's obeying the commandment. So Jesus Christ has to obey the commandment. And so as soon as he was baptized, then the voice comes from heaven. Let's go back to Matthew and start reading from verse 16.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
See, once he took water baptism, came out of the water, then the heaven opened, and then God witnessed about his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because he obeyed the commandment of God. He did not say, I'm a righteous, I don't have to take this baptism. This is not for me, this is for sinners. The Sadducees and Pharisees, they came, they thought they are righteous. They rejected the plan of God. They rejected the righteousness of God. But Jesus fulfilled the righteousness of God. So what I'm trying to say, the baptism is not the ritual, is the commandment. We have to fulfill the commandments of God. And here he's saying, let's read the verse 16. Go back.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Now he says, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The Spirit of God. Now many people, Christian scholars, and many other preachers will tell you, Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit when he took the water baptism. Does it say here in Holy Spirit? No. He said the Spirit of God. That means Jesus Christ was still the Old Testament prophet. In the Old Testament prophets, you start from Abel up to the John the Baptist and even the Christ. Christ can be say the last Old Testament prophet. Even though he started a New Testament, but he started the New Testament with his blood. But he is an Old Testament prophet. How do you know? Because if you read in a book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15 and verse 18, it says God was going to send a prophet just like Moses. And so God sent the prophet just like Moses, and he fulfilled the prophecy that he will be a prophet. So Jesus Christ is called the prophet. He is right now as a priest in heaven, and he is coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy that he was a prophet. Why I'm saying this? Because here is saying the Spirit of God came upon him. And so let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 and 11.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
The Spirit of Christ was in them. In whom? All the Old Testament prophet. If all the Old Testament prophet has the Spirit of Christ, then Jesus Christ also is the Old Testament prophet. So Old Testament prophet, what they had? The Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. Because if you study about them in Old Testament, they will say they had the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. St. John, he says, I saw the Spirit coming like a dove. John says the Spirit. Matthew says the Spirit of God. And Mark says also the Spirit. But the Luke only says the Holy Spirit. Let's read the Mark and then go to Luke. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. 9 to 11.
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
Okay, Spirit like a dove. Mark did not say it's the Holy Spirit. Matthew did not say the Holy Spirit. Matthew openly said that was the Spirit of God. But the Luke said the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22.
Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
Luke said a little bit different than others. Luke says he was praying, and then the Spirit came upon him, and he said that was the Holy Spirit. That's why most of the people, they just take the Luke's word. But let's come to the book, same chapter, Luke 4, chapter 4, and read the verse 18, what Jesus says.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Now what Jesus Christ is saying, did he say what the Luke said, the Holy Spirit is upon me? No. He says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now who is Lord? The Word of God says Jesus Christ is Lord. Indirectly he was saying, Lord or Messiah you're looking for, that's the Spirit I have. That means Spirit of God, like Matthew said, and Jesus says that's the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God, they were always together, and all the Old Testament people received the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. We just read in 1 Peter chapter 1. So Jesus Christ is confirming here, I did not receive the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. I just received my own Spirit because God wanted to reveal these people, this is the Lord. And when he took this book, we don't have time, but when you have time to read this from 18 to 29. But we are going to just read last two verses. Let's go to the 28 and 29, the same chapter. When he took this book he was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2 we read, and he read in front of them, and he said, you know what? This prophecy is fulfilled in your eyes. And then he kept the book down. And then people start saying, who is this guy? This is the carpenter's son, and he has this kind of wisdom. And they start saying something that he is not qualified even to say, I am the Messiah, or I am the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So what these people wanted to do, kill him right away. Read this verse 28.
And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong.
This is the first time after he got baptized, and the John the Baptist testified, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He took the scroll, opened the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, read these verses of the prophecy, said this prophecy is fulfilled in front of your own eyes, and they wanted to kill him. Why? Because he said, I am your Messiah, or I am your Lord. And so the point I'm making, people make mistake that Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit when he took the water baptism, and if he didn't have the Holy Spirit, he would not be doing the works what he was doing. People did so many signs and wonders and miracles in the Old Testament, and they were not speaking in tongue. Jesus never spoke in tongue. Those people had the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. But the New Testament church was promised the third person of Trinity. Read in St. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
But this is what you have to remember and tell other people. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, was not yet given. Not yet given means not yet given at all. Why? They're given the reason. Because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. And John the Baptist said, we read in Matthew chapter 3, I baptize you with the water. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that Holy Spirit baptism was never given to any Old Testament people. The Holy Spirit was given to the church. And why church? Because to testify and prepare the bride for his soon coming. So that was the reason Holy Spirit was given. Okay, so John the Baptist did his job and he gave his life for the truth. Jesus Christ came, gave the message of salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, and Jesus Christ also went, and now he sent the Holy Spirit, and he said, the works I did, you will do also, and you will do greater works than me. So what is our job now? To preach the gospel, bring the people to the salvation, and preach the full gospel, not half. Full gospel means salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, telling about Jesus Christ coming, and all these things full gospel preacher preaches. And the people are not full gospel, they will preach about salvation, no baptism. Some people will say baptism and no Holy Spirit. And somebody will even don't preach about repentance or repenting their sins and receiving Jesus Christ. So we have to see the Word of God is given to us so we can learn and we can teach the same thing to others. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have given us grace. We see in this chapter, John the Baptist came preaching, preparing the way for Christ. He even gave his life. And Jesus Christ came, preached the salvation message, repentance, gave his life, shed his blood, he died, he was buried, and he was risen. And he is in heaven today, making the intercession for us. He is our judge, he is our lawyer, and he is coming very soon. But he has given us the job to preach the gospel of salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, prepare the people for his coming. Give us grace to do it right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.